All right, the next disease that we're going to talk about, sort of a, it's a subtle disease at a certain level, and it's called, the word for it is batar, right? Batar. And this is refers to having, being exultant, having excessive mirth. And I'm going to use a lot of different words because there's not a really good translation for it. And even the Arabic language, there's a word batar, and doesn't only have one meaning. It has many different meanings. Having a dislike for something that's not worthy for, having dislike for, so on and so forth. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ was asked about kibr, and he said, "Batarul haqqi wa ghamtun nas," or kama qal, that to reject, over there, batar is being used to reject something. So it has different connotations, but I'm using it in this one particular connotation. It comes in one verse, وَلَا تَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بَطَرًا. Right, they came out of their house, بَطَرًا وَرِيَاءً نَاسٍ, that they came out and they are, if you just read the translation, it says that they're just arrogant, right? But it doesn't really capture the idea. You know, they're coming out where they're, you know, chest full of pride, and they're happy, and they're full of themselves. You know, it's like a hot air balloon, and they're walking, and they're happy, and they're just like, feel like they're invincible, and nothing can stop in our ways, and they're showing off. That idea, that whole conglomeration, right, you can take, is, you would call batara, right? وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ, another verse, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ بَطَرَتْ مَعِيشَتُهَا. بَطَرَتْ over there is a little bit different connotation, but it's all this, you know, this amalgam, this constellation of symptoms that go together, because they're connected linguistically, and they're also connected psychologically, is that this has over here that they're exultant, right? They were very proud and full of their lifestyle, right? What was going on in their life, how they were living the good life. They were living the high life. Ma'ishatuha, right? They were spoiled, right? That also has an element of being spoiled. And this disease of batar is something that you see much more in developed nations, right? In first world nations, in nations which are technologically advanced. And that is why people, particularly in America, are particularly susceptible to this idea of being falling into batar, because people's accomplishments delude them, right? They think that people become happy with themselves. They become full of themselves. And they think that they're the best in the world. You know, the Americans, so many Americans, they think, yeah, man, we're the best in the world, right? They're fully convinced. Well, you're actually not, right? I mean, you don't have this, I mean, there's economies which are coming up which have, if you look at the rate of growth, they exceed the rate of growth of our GDP. You talk about, you know, in terms of so many different things, in terms of education, we lag behind the rest of the world. There's a lot of problems. You look at our crime and penal system. You look at, you know, how our families are broken. We're lagging in so many other indicators. Even on the global index of happiness, America is not, I mean, if you, whatever they take as the, you know, indicators of happiness, we are not the happiest country in the world. So psychologically, you know, our people aren't doing as well as plain people. So we're not, right, in so many ways, the best country, but it's in people's head, right? And they think that they're the best, that we have the best. You know, there was this one time where we took the youth on a trip for the youth group in St. Louis, and I still remember this, that we were on the river, right? We went on some river, and we were going through this lazy river, and it was all the youth counselors and the youth. And obviously the river is shared with other people, so there was this, like, this big round tube, but not many people can sort of sit in there, type of thing. And, you know, astaghfirullah, there was, like, not good things happening in that tube. Let's just put it that way, right? And there's women who are not dressed appropriately and this and that. And so, like, no, we're like, okay, keep your gaze down, just get down the river. So you're passing them. And I still remember that voice of this one girl, you know, shouting from there. She's like, hey, you guys, you want to be here? You know you want to be here? Like, that is batar. That idea is like, we're having a good time, we're so awesome, we're white, we're beautiful, and you want to be here and doing exactly what we're doing. And the sad thing is, there was probably some people who did, at some level, want to be there, right? And that's the idea, the archetype of the person who's batir is the Qarun, right? The Qarun. And there's a big problem with being, you know, Qarun-like. Where is it that in where is qala qawmuhu wa ataynahu min al-kunuz ma inna mafatihu latunu'u al-isba latunu'u bil-isbati al-quwa inna qaruna kana min qawmi Musa fabagha, right? Wa ataynahu min al-kunuz. So this the Qarun, he had so much wealth, and he was like the person who had, you know, batar. And people around him, you know, they would tell him, يَسْقَالَهُ قَوْمُ لَا تَفْرَحْ إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like those people who are exultant, because that was his attitude. He was like, man, I'm all that, right? I got it all. So it's bad to be in that position, to be that archetype. But you know what's almost even worse is to be the people who have their eyes and desire to be like that. Right, you're a wannabe Qarun. You're not even Qarun. At least if you're Qarun, you're enjoying yourself. You're a wannabe Qarun. You're a loser, and you want to be like Qarun. That's even worse. And there's so many people, you know, when they said that people saw Qarun. The Quran talks about that. They said, "Lawla utiya mithla ma utiya Qarun." That we wish we were given the same thing as Qarun. So people see stuff on billboards, and people see stuff on Netflix, and people see stuff on the movies, and people see stuff on social media, on Instagram, right? In these beautiful images, and they, in their hearts, even if they're not saying with their tongues, they say, "Lawla utiya mithla ma utiya Qarun." Man, I wish I had that. Despite all the niqabs and all the long beards and all the topis, in their heart, لَوْلَا أُوتِيَ مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَرُونَ. They're not, I mean, we should be رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّمْ رَسُولًا وَنَبِيًّا. What we have is the best thing ever. We don't need any other way. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْمَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the person of the Prophet ﷺ, there is the ultimate role model for you. We don't need to look to the east. We don't need to look to the west. We don't need to look up, down. We don't need to look down. What we got is the best. Right, and if we want the low things of the dunya, then احبت مصرا فإن لكم ما سألتم. Right, then go, get down in any. Don't be like the Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sending them man and salwa from the skies, and then they're telling Musa alayhi salam, "Oh, we want to eat the same things. Fuhumiha wa adasriha wa basriha. We want to eat the same things. These cucumbers and that other stuff. Man and salwa from the sky, coming to you from Bani Israel, and they say we want cucumbers." Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go to Cum Publix. You get your cucumbers. أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ اِهْبِتُوا مِصْرًا فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ. Are you going to replace something that's better with something that's low? Like, do you have no sense? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you, Muslims? Why are you chasing the Western lifestyle? Why are you chasing the GQ lifestyle? Why are you chasing the stuff of the dunya when you have the wiras of the Prophet ﷺ? That is enough for us. رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. We have Allah, and that is enough for us. خلاص. And destroy. So, I still remember an old talk of Sheikh Hamza Yusuf when he talks. I think he was probably talking about the same thing, but you know, people getting giddy, right? There's also this giddiness that's in, and people get giddy for different reasons. I'm not just telling you not to be in a good mood, but you know, people sort of, they just get into party mode. And that's the people of Batr, like, you really want to understand that, go and see, you know, the young woman in her, who's a 30-something in her black slip dress, who pulls up to the club in a Maserati, and the way she walks out in her high heels, there's Batr there, right? Where, and this is complete delusion, because there's no self-insight that I'm doing anything wrong. It's this thing like, I'm where it's at, right? This is what it's all about. And that feeling of being just so happy and so ghafil about the fact that death is going to hit you like a 10-ton train, and you're completely in ghafla about it, right? That's a problem. And so the idea is that these people are veiled in their ghafla, they're veiled in their exuberance, and they're also veiled in their arrogance. And so that's a problem, because the way of the believer is that they're tempered. They don't lose themselves, right? They have the anatu min Allah, being deliberate, being slow, being composed. This is the way of the believer, right? We don't play fast, hot, and hard. We play slow, cold, and soft. Right? That's one way to think about it. And you look at the Prophet ﷺ, and he's the ultimate example for us. Where was the batr? Right? He said, "I am a slave, and I eat like a slave." Where's the batr? He was the king of Arabia. He's sleeping on a mat that left marks on his back. Where's the batr? He lived 23 years of his life, and you can't find a single upgrade. Where's the batr? I mean, you look at their lives, and you look at how our lives should be. I mean, his life was there was no glitter, there was no glamour, there was no bling bling. That just wasn't there. And al-faqru fakhri, that our poverty should be our pride. This is something which is so distinct about the Muslims, that we're not about this capitalist culture. We're not about amassing money and more and more. We're happy and we're content and we're simple people. And that's a really big gift. We are people who are from the earth, and so we stay close to it, right? We don't lose ourselves. And that is the gift of religion. That is the gift of deen, because it allows us to be true to who we really are. مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. You're from that earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took you off from that earth, and you're going back to that earth. Don't forget that. And when people forget who they are, and this is, we live in a generation, in a time where literally people are so used to being faced, they don't even know who they are anymore. They lose themselves. They lose their principles. And when you lose yourself, then you as a human being, you just don't function the way you're supposed to. You're not functioning right. You're not going according to the program. Right? There's a certain maintenance manual. This is how you use this appliance. When you use it in a different way, it's not going to work right. In the same way, when people lose themselves, when they get off the earth, like a hot air balloon, and are flying in the skies, right? It's only a matter of time. What goes up, got to come down, right? There has to be a crash. And there's a couple of related diseases with this batr that I thought that were worth mentioning. One of them is being spoiled, right? Some people, they're just spoiled. They want everything nice. They're used to always life of luxury. It's okay to like nice things, right? You know, some people say, "Oh, you know, brother, mashallah, sheikh, you know, I just like nice things. You know, subhanallah, I just like pretty things." It's not only you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes nice things. My wife likes nice things. I like nice things. Your wife likes nice things. The whole humanity likes nice things. That's our fitrah. There's nothing, something special about you, right? That's not, but one thing is by being, when a person becomes spoiled, then that becomes so important to them that they become inflexible according to the situation. And when a person becomes spoiled, they become used to always wanting or wanting to have things their way. Right? It should always just be like this. They become very rigid. Right? And the reason for this is because they become too accustomed to the comforts of their life. Right? To living a very comfortable life, a life of leisure, and because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person so much ni'mah, so much ni'mah, so much ni'mah, like, I only want my life to be like this. You know, this life was not meant to be Jannah. Our Jannah is coming in the hereafter. Right? There will be ups in life, there will be downs in life. And sometimes, the person who wakes up and realizes that earlier and doesn't become so attached to their own comforts, lives actually a much more comfortable life, because they're not anxious all the time. A person who's spoiled also somewhere is also very anxious, right? There's people who they're anxious about going for Hajj, right? There's people who literally will call and they say that, "Oh man, I did Hajj once, never again. It was too, I didn't like the bathrooms, right? People were sweating. It was smelly, right? They couldn't sleep on the time, right? I didn't have a comfortable bed to sleep on." Like they're like, "Oh, I'm gonna go to Hajj, but I don't know. I think, you know, I'm going to exercise for a while, you know, a big, build up my cardiovascular first, inshallah, and go for, you know, ajiba, you know, you're like 30 years old. You don't need to, like, get ready. You know, there's an old uncle, like, our last Hajj group that we went with, he was like, I don't know, 60-something, mashallah. He did, like, 26 miles in one day, right? I mean, his wife was in a wheelchair and people pushed him. Allah puts barakah on it. This is a special place. Have some faith, right, for God's sake. But people who are spoiled, they're not willing to adjust to the circumstances. And this actually derives from another disease. And that other disease is this disease of what was probably best termed entitlement. Right? Entitlement. And this is something which literally plagues the millennial generation. I'm not even going to go into it. But maybe I will go into it a little bit because it's my pet peeve. But, you know, where you feel like the world owes you, that you deserve something. And the reason that people become entitled is because this is the connection with Batar, because they're full themselves. It comes full circle. Now we went from Batar to being spoiled to entitlement, but then it hooks back to Batar, because the idea is that a person who is entitled is at some level a narcissist. They feel that the world, that they are the center of the universe, and the whole world is revolving around them, because I'm so awesome for doing nothing other than just being me. Everything should work my way. People should listen to me. Nothing bad should happen to me. I should never have a flat tire because I'm me. Who are you? You're nobody. But in their mind, I'm Mr. Me, right? This I with a capital I exists in their mind. So then, no, you know, nothing bad should happen to me. And the fact of the matter is, first of all, neither is a person, no one is anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he levels this idea of entitlement in the Quran. In one verse just came to my mind. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Wasn't there a time you weren't even something to be mentioned? You didn't have a name. Forget about your eye. You didn't have a name to your name. You didn't have a name to your existence. Right? خَلَقْنَاهُ مِن نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ. Look at the vile fluid that you were made from. Right? Something that was spurred out that you don't even feel speaking about it in the public. That's your roots. And then, إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. And then you're walking high. Right? You're not even worthy of mention. Right? Remember where you came from. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's it called? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't owe us anything. Right? لا تمنوا علي إيمانكم. Don't make, you know, people even in their, they do this in their deen. They think that, oh, mashallah, I'm doing Allah a favor by being Islamic. Are you serious? Right? Somehow because I became Islamic, Allah, something good should happen to me in my life. MashaAllah, I prayed tahajjud today. I went to the qiyam, so, you know, I should be getting an A. And then when they saw a C because they didn't study, because they went for the qiyam, they're like, what's this? Well, what is that? That's what happens when you don't study for an exam. That's what that is. Right? لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم بل الله يمن عليكم أن هداكم. Don't tell me that you did me a favor by becoming a Muslim and coming to the deen and living a good life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did a favor on you by giving you the hidayah to do that in the first place. The favor of that, we don't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't owe us anything. We owe everything to Allah. Right? We don't deserve anything. If anyone is deserving of anything, it's Allah is deserving of our ibadah. He's deserving of our love. He's deserving of our adoration. And everything that He has given us then, if we change our mind in saying that we don't deserve this, then we'll see it as a rahmah from Allah. And we'll see it as a fadl from Allah. And this is, you see so many people in their house, they have this plaque. هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي. If only that plaque got off the wall and into our hearts. And we really felt that everything that we have is really from the fadl of Allah. I don't deserve this. This is from the Father of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to come to the masjid. He allows us to pray fajr. He allows us to do the work of the deen. He allows us to care about Him. He allows us to have good feelings in our heart. This is something called tawfiq. This is something called hidayah. And the source is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entitled person, he doesn't see that. right? Because they think that they're inherently worthy of those things and that they deserve that. And you know, when I think about this, I think about the story that Dr. Modesser told me about one of his, some of his residents, that they're, he's a program director there in Brooksville, right? And so they're, and look, when maybe we're old school and I'm talking like the old thing, but you know, like medicine is, it's a privilege to be there, right? And you talk about the old guard of people who, and maybe I'm always talking about this, but Sheikh Hussein will talk to you about this as well, about, you know, the people who really had the muhabba of the field and the true, you know, academics and the true doctors. Like, you know, he, the way he treats his teacher at the University of Chicago is the way that one of us would treat our Sheikh in Islam. He gives him so much respect. And, you know, even his there's a feeling of camaraderie and a feeling of nobility, right? I mean, like one time his professor told him, you know, like some of these trainees that they, you know, he trained, and then they go on and they don't even look back. And he's like, didn't I teach these people anything? Like, they also have this feeling, right? Just because they're not Muslim and just because it's not Islam doesn't take away the nobility of this. You're curing human disease. And he's like, I taught these people something. I made them, and now they're big names in their own field and they don't look back, right? They don't even say thank you. They don't call. I know how parents complain that you don't even call anymore, right? The teacher will also feel like that. Sheikh Hussein gives him a tremendous amount of respect. But, you know, like when you're going through residency, the idea was that, you know, if our teachers are asatiza, right, in a way, you're attending something, they tell you to do something, you did it, right? And even, you didn't say this is fair, this is not fair. And like these residents are sitting or complaining to him like, oh, we don't have windows in our office or something, right? Like, are you serious? You understand how privileged, what an honor it is that you're sitting on that desk as a resident, and for every spot that you're sitting on, there's 20,000 IMGs that want to be sitting where you're sitting. But a person who is entitled, they think that I deserve to be here, I'm supposed to be here because I'm me, right? So they're not going to see that. Another sort of related disease is mirth, right? It's sort of translated as excessive mirth. But this is another problem, because another sign of a diseased heart is they're always about having a good time. Right? They're always like, they put their life in party mode, and they don't know how to turn it off. Right? They just is always about, and it can happen when you're a teenager, and it can also be when you're an uncle and auntie. Right? Every weekend is just about parties and inviting people, and it's just this endless socialization. Endless vacations, endless theme parks, endless fun all the time. And you look at the majority of the expenditure in the GDP in the United States after, in terms of disposable income, most of it goes towards entertainment, right? I mean, it's a lot of money to spend $500 on a, you know, PlayStation, or, you know, or I don't know what it's, PlayStation 5 now or something, whatever it is, right? I mean, but people will spend it, and then $70 for each single game, and then they can spend hours and hours and hours. I mean, people will spend thousands of dollars to go to Disney World, and they'll do it every single year, right? And that's like their thing. They go to Disney World the way that, you know, the pious people go to Mecca, right? That's their yearly hijrah. That's their yearly pilgrimage, that we have to go to Disney World. We take the kids there. They go even when they don't have kids anymore, because that is like the Kaaba of the dunya, right? They try to make the most magical place on earth, right? The only magic there is the magic of the dunya, right? And it does a number on people so that they keep on coming back. And the reason that people actually immerse themselves so much in entertainment, like, I know they're always having parties, always going out to eat, always hanging out. You know, Friday night comes, come on, bro, what do you want to do? You can't just sit, like, how about go to sleep on Friday night and get up on Saturday morning like normal people? No, you had to do something, right? Because it's Friday night. Why? What happened? It's like Jumma Mubarak on a different level. People do this because they're numbing the pain of their own existence, right? People's lives are way too empty. They don't have meaning. They don't have purpose. People don't have substance to themselves. And because their hearts are empty, they're just completely empty of the dhikr of Allah, right? There's just nothing there. So when the nature abhors a vacuum, and when you create a vacuum, people will try to fill it with something, right? And sometimes, whether that be drugs or alcohol or parties or hanging out or food or something, but they're going to try to fill the void. And so they're medicating themselves at a certain level by having a good time. How much did you see this? Just think about this, just to give sort of like level setting. Look back in the time of the Salaf, look at the Hadith, read Hayat al-Sahaba. How much do you see? It's not like it never happened, right? That the Sahaba didn't spend time with each other. But how much of their time, was it a culture, right? Was it the culture of the Prophet ﷺ? How much time did you see him hanging out and having fun, right? When did the weekend ever come? When did he say it's summer vacation, I'm going to just go on a break? He had 23 years and he changed the world. But you can't do that if you're just only about having fun. He wasn't about that. And the reason that, and this is one of the things, this doesn't mean that if you're going to become Islamic, your life is going to be boring, right? The Prophet ﷺ, was he bored? Were the Sahaba bored? Kalla hasha. That was not a thing. The funny thing is, all these people who want to do all these fun things, they're the most bored people in the world, right? Because as soon as they come home, they're like, man, I don't know what to do. It's so boring, right? So boring. It's always so boring. The 6-year-old comes home, dad, I'm bored. The 13-year-old comes home, dad, I'm bored. They're always bored. Why? Because the nafs got spoiled from this constant stimulation, and it's not possible to stimulate it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The dunya doesn't work like that. There's life. And so that becomes problematic. So yeah, when you come to the deen, Islam doesn't become more boring. It's that they became stable. They become closer to the earth. They're not flying in the sky. And they're able to live, and that's enough for them. Life is enough. Right? It was enough for them to do just that. They had purpose, they had meaning, and they were able to just enjoy the simple things. You come home, share some good words with your family, you go to the masjid, you come home and eat something, then you go to sleep, you get up in the morning, you go and do your work, you do a hard day's job, and you're satisfied in that, right? It gives you a level of stability. So what is the cure for this disease of batr? Is that one of the cures is to fast and to observe voluntary fast. But not just to observe voluntary fast, is to actually observe voluntary fast in a way that you actually feel hunger. It should actually hurt a little bit. Right? I mean, we try to strategize our fast at what thing that can we eat at Sahri so that we feel the least hunger. And you know, we don't want roza, like roza nai lagna, right? And you don't want to feel your roza. No, you're supposed to actually feel it. It's supposed to hurt, right? Because when it hurts, then you remember, like some people, it hurts like this all the time, and there's no iftar for them for it to stop hurting. It just hurts. And that's it. Like, that's the end of the story. There's no other story. So that helps. The other thing that sometimes helps is this realization that if you immerse yourself in one of the mashayikh said it beautifully, he said, prolonged entertainment is anesthetizing the soul. Right? If you're always just having a good time, you're just sort of killing your heart. Right? Not killing your heart, you're numbing your heart. Right? So it doesn't. Then you say that, oh, I go to salah and I don't feel it. Because of that. Right? You spend too many hours on Netflix to feel your tarawih. Right, get off the Netflix, become a normal human being, then come to salah, then you'll cry. It will do it for you, but you got to give it a chance. You got to unplug from the other stuff first. And the Prophet ﷺ, he asked some people, and they were laughing heartily, right? And he saw them, and then he told them, he said, mix into your gatherings the remembrance of death. And this is something that we don't do very often. We don't like to. And the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us, he said, if you knew what I knew, فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا. If you knew what I knew, you would laugh a little bit, but you'd cry a lot. Right? People, they don't want to feel those negative feelings, but those negative feelings reconnect us with the true reality that is coming in our direction.